The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the chief priests and elders of the people, "Hear another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. Then he leased it to tenants and went on a journey. When vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to obtain his produce. But the tenants seized the servants, and one they beat, another they killed, and a third they stoned. Again he sent other servants, more numerous than the first ones, but they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, thinking, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to one another, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance.' They seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. What will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants when he comes?" They answered him, "He will put those wretched men to a wretched death and lease his vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the proper times." Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes.' Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit." The Gospel of the Lord. Sins be wiped away. My brothers and sisters, when I read today's passage from the book of the prophet Isaiah, I have to resist the impulse to treat it as an historical document or a piece of literature to be analyzed. I have to remember to treat it as the Word of God, and that the message Isaiah had for the people of his time is also a message for us. The message, which Jesus repeats and elaborates on in today's passage from St. Matthew's Gospel, is easy to discern. If God's chosen people reject God's plan for their salvation, including and especially God sending his son as their Messiah, the people will suffer greatly and the kingdom of God will be given to others. I have no trouble understanding that the chief priests and elders of the people do not recognize who Jesus is and so will have to bear the consequences. What is difficult for me to remember is that the warning Jesus gives in the parable of the vineyard applies to us just as much as it did to the ancient Israelites and the people of Jesus' time. God has blessed this country abundantly. We have the size and resources, both our people and our natural resources, that enable us to live the most comfortable and productive lives of any people in the history of the world. And our wealth and ability to be a self-sustaining nation keeps on growing. I think of how we are now basically energy independent, for example. We have an educational system, including our great universities and colleges, that should be second to none. All of us have the freedom to travel anywhere in this country that we want, and when we are faced with disasters like the recent hurricanes or even 9/11, our government and people respond in a manner that is the envy of the world. We can attend church as often or as little as we want to without government interference. We all know these and many other wonderful things about the United States of America, just as I am sure the ancient people of Judah or the people of Jesus's time had a picture of the strengths and potential of Israel at the time they lived. The book of the prophet Isaiah was written and edited over the time of the Babylonian exile. So the citizens of ancient Judah to whom it was addressed were well aware of what could happen when God withdraws his favor. They came to realize how their response to God was insufficient at best. The question for us is, how do we respond to the gifts God has given us? And looking at what happened to Judah, what might be in store for this country if our response to God as a nation fails? Ancient Judah thought of itself as being self-sufficient. It had a strong army, fortified cities, coalition with foreigners, and most notably, religious indifference and an attachment to wealth. The more a nation relies on its own resources, the less it relies on God. From God's point of view, as Isaiah expresses it, Israel's reliance on its own self-sufficiency is the sin of pride, and so as punishment, God allows Babylon to humiliate Judah and Israel and their leaders by not only conquering them, but by deporting the flower of their royalty and educated citizens to Babylon. One thing I noticed right away is that my brief description of Israel and Judah, their strong armies, fortified cities, coalitions with foreigners, and most notably religious indifference and an attachment to wealth, sounds remarkably like this country. God is constantly warning the ancient Jews not to intermingle with the Canaanites, who, among other things, sacrifice their children to the Baals. While we don't think of ourselves as sacrificing our children to the Baals, the citizens of this country certainly have sacrificed millions of our children to the false gods of convenience and the right to choose. Religious indifference in this country runs high, and we certainly do tend to glorify wealth. I have no doubt that in God's eyes, we are producing wild grapes. So what can we do? Well, we need to make it clear by our actions and how we live our lives that Jesus is our cornerstone. We need to make it clear that we realize that this country lives in God's vineyard, where Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. If this country does not reform itself and turn back to God, why should we expect to escape the annihilation that Israel and to a lesser extent Judah experienced? I can think of several specific things we must do as a nation, but I will mention only two. First, although we hear this all the time, we must not be lulled into complacency. We must stop the Holocaust of abortion. I am certain that God forgives individuals who have been involved with abortion and who repent. But a nation that permits abortion on a scale that frankly is beyond imagining will not be forgiven. Secondly, and I really have no idea how to bring this about, I understand that. A nation that enjoys the wealth that we do must provide affordable health care for all of its citizens. After all, look at Jesus's miracles. The overwhelming majority of them involve some sort of healing. As the body of Christ and as a nation, we must continue Christ's healing ministry. My brothers and sisters, if we, as individuals, as a church, and as a nation, try to know and follow the will of God, we will, as individuals, as a church, and as a nation, know what St. Paul calls the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that comes when we turn our hearts and our minds over to God's will and rely for our protection, first and foremost, not on our self-sufficiency, but on Jesus Christ.